The views expressed in the following podcast are not necessarily the views of the United States Air Force or the Air Force Reserve, but rather the perspectives of the individual speakers. No endorsement of any particular person, business, or interest is ever intended.
Greetings, Alamo Wing family, friends, and fans. Welcome back to Ready, Set, Airlift. I'm your host, Julian Hernandez. On this episode, we're talking about the challenges reservists face when balancing their military responsibilities with their commitments, goals, and aspirations on the civilian side. For some insight on this balancing act, my colleague, Master Sergeant Jacob Lewis, sat down with an Alamo Wing leader who's been successfully managing these competing requirements for decades.
Alamo Wing, today I have Colonel Albrecht with me. Colonel, how are you doing today? How's your week been? I know it's been busy for you. You're transitioning soon.
Everything is always crazy here in the maintenance group. But yeah, the week's been going pretty good, and we're all lined up for the exercise. So I'm proud of the team that we have here, and things are going good.
Excellent. I know your days here are numbered. Can you tell the audience where you're going? Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I was selected to become the deputy commander for the Force Generation Center out there at Warner Robins. So basically, they have two missions. One is tracking all the deployers for the reserve and also tracking all the reserve aircraft flying around the world at any one time.
How do you feel about it? Are you going to a big AFRC?
I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if you're aware, I'm geographically separated from my family, and they're all back at Warner Robins waiting for me to get back there. It's exciting for them, but it's bittersweet because I love the unit here, and it's a great team, but I am looking forward to going and moving on to the next chapter in my life.
Very exciting. I did not know about your geographically separated situation, so congratulations to you and your family. As you prepare to transition to your next role, what reflections come to mind about your time here at the 433rd Maintenance Group? Anything stood out? Positives?
I've already touched on it. We've got a great unit here. Years ago, they cut the unit down to 8 aircraft and cut our manning levels and everything. And to me, we're severely undermanned, but the unit still gets the job done. And heck, every day, they impress me more and more.
So part of the reason why I want to sit down with you is I learned about your very eclectic career here in the reserves. We're citizen airmen. We have a lot of balancing to do between our civilian life and our military life. I've learned that you've been active duty, IMA, a traditional reservist, ART, as well as a full-time commander. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. That's what I thought. I just want to make sure. So how has each role shaped your leadership style and perspective?
I'll say this. On active duty, I started out in nuclear munitions, and I was an airman. I was just trying to keep my head above water at that point, but that's where I learned excellence, because you have to be excellent when you're loading nukes. There's no way over them. After that, I transferred to the Guard, became a crew chief on the C-5A, and there I learned the importance, the great importance of integrity. When you're working on a multi-million dollar aircraft and other people are relying on you to be safe, you have to do the right thing when nobody's looking. And so that was a huge part of learning there. Then I became a maintenance officer right before 9/11. All my training before that, I was a volunteer firefighter, and that came into play when they told me and another young lieutenant to go ahead and manage a hangar. And they told us 800 emergency service workers were coming into town that night, and they were running operations down in New York City, the recovery operations. And so that was a challenge there. I got baptized by fire, if you will, and I learned a lot during that time. And also right after that, I went to my first two deployments, Spain and Kuwait. And I learned a lot out there as well. I can tell you the heat is one thing I remember from Kuwait. One instance, I was 7 o'clock in the morning, standing in the shade, and it was 110. I think got up to 123 that day. But again, it never fails. The maintenance team always amazes me. Despite all that heat, they still got the job done. After that, I went on, joined the reserve. I went down to CENTCOM. I learned a lot about working with our Army, Navy, Marine, and even defense logistics agencies. So all of our partners across the DOD. So that was a great experience that I would never give up again if I had the opportunity to do it all over again. After that, I went on to Air Command and Staff College, learned a lot about networking and leadership techniques there, and then went and became a traditional reservist out at Whiteman. Great team out there with the A-10. That was a little different, going from knowing about C-5 down to a fighter. But again, they all aircraft have their challenges, and learned a lot from the team there. Then I went off to the Pentagon Joint Staff. So I went out there, and I was only supposed to do 6 months out there. I ended up staying a year and a half while I was there. But that was quite interesting, because not only did I have to know all about the Air Force logistics, I had to learn about Army, Navy, Marines, because that's what the Joint Staff did up there, at least my position. And also, one instance, which was a unique experience for me, was that Secretary John Kerry at the time was over in Europe, and he broke his leg, of all things, riding a bike. I think it was in Germany, and they needed to get him back to the States. So they called up our office, and I had to coordinate with the SecDef's office to put somebody outside the DOD on a military aircraft and get him home. So that was quite challenging, but we got the job done. And then after that, I went and joined the Force Generation Center, ran the battle watch up there and the CAT operations, the crisis action team, and again, managing and monitoring all the reserve aircraft flying around the world. Then I became the operations division chief there at the Force Generation Center. And then I was asked to come here and become the commander. So it's been a whirlwind for the last several years.
Yes, quite the wild ride, it sounds like.
Yes.
I was just in formal training out near D.C. at Fort Meade. I spent one day at the Pentagon, and that was enough.
Yeah, the traffic. Yes. I don't know if you had the chance to deal with the traffic up there, right?
I did, yes, sir. Okay. Very fun. Speaking of all this balancing, the majority of our members here, the 433rd, they are citizen airmen, so they're full-time civilians, part-time military. Balancing these is a very unique challenge. What has helped you successfully navigate the dual identity as a citizen airman?
I can tell you, for 38 years, I've worn the uniform. I never really had a break in service. But I can tell you that growing up on the farm, learning a lot from my parents, the values they instilled in me has definitely helped me. Becoming a volunteer firefighter, that has helped as well. I was a baseball coach, did a little bit of martial arts. I was a black belt in Taekwondo and did some instructing there. All that's come together to basically mold me into who I am today. And I always encourage everybody, get out of your comfort zone, go do some stuff that will basically make you mature and become a better person.
Absolutely. I did not know about your Taekwondo karate. So that's very fascinating. Another aspect to you that I did not expect.
I was internationally certified through the Kukiwon in Seoul, South Korea. So that was interesting. I do want to bring up one point, too, is that one thing that helps me balance my life is having an awesome wife at home. She's my rock. I'll say that the best couples are basically complete opposites to one another. And she is everything I'm not, but she's very independent. And she's basically raised our kids on her own and done a fantastic job. As a matter of fact, I'm flying home next week because our last one is graduating from high school. And then a second one, finally convinced him to join the Air Force. So he just graduated from BMT in February, I think, or March. And so he's off to the 2T2, building up pallets for the Air Force.
Very cool. Speaking of the balancing, it's not just military life and civilian work. It's also your family. And then another aspect is your personal life. On a previous mission I went on with Colonel Kudermuth, he had told me that you had one of your creative passions was that you had written a book. I found that very fascinating. It's part of the reason I wanted to talk to you. Amid all these various responsibilities, how have you found time to write a novel? Can you tell us about what had inspired you for this creative pursuit?
I had always had an interest in writing, but when I went to the Pentagon, I was working 4 days on, 4 days off, basically 12-hour days. And when I had time off, I was geographically separated again, stayed in an apartment up in D.C. And I was like, I got to do something. And I just started tapping away on my iPad. And people criticized me for tapping away at the iPad. But I wrote the entire book on the iPad, but it just came to me. Again, I always had an interest in sci-fi, Star Trek, Star Wars fans, stuff like that. I kind of wanted to bring together the whole idea of religion and the whole idea of the ancient alien theory and then make them clash. And so it's basically a trilogy. I've got three books, one published. I've got two more in the works. But that's basically a clash between religion and the ancient alien theory. And you'll have to get book two before you realize which way I'm going with it.
Very fascinating. It's right up my alley. We could go on and on about that.
Yeah.
But I did want to ask you, how do you think pursuing such creative passions like writing, and doesn't just have to be that, could be other things, how do these benefit service members both professionally and personally?
I'll say that the research I had to do on this book, not only for publishing it and writing it and getting it out there to Amazon, but the perseverance. I mean, it took a lot to get through it, to basically get it all published. And it doesn't have to be writing a book. Find something where it's going to challenge you. Be persistent with it and just follow it until the end. So that's one thing that I've always tried to do. Once I reach a goal, I'll look to the next thing that interests me, and then I'll just start pursuing it and just stick it out.
Absolutely. The whole airman concept.
Yes.
Sounds like you embody it, sir.
Thanks.
So again, we've been talking about these different aspects to our balance. Again, you've been the Pentagon, you've written a book, you do karate, you've all these different locations. Could you reflect upon your family and that support? I didn't realize how much you were geographically separated. How did you prioritize still balancing being away, pursuing these things, and take care of your family?
And the nice thing about technology these days is that you FaceTime and I'll say gaming with my kids. I joke about it, but I actually game a lot with my kids. I don't know if you're familiar with Clash of Clans or not, but they're like, Dad, you can attack and everything. But I use that as an opportunity to chat with them, find out how their day's going, how they're doing in school and stuff like that. So I still had to be a father, and that was a perfect opportunity. But again, having a very independent wife and everything, and the communication that we had, I'll tell you this, being geographically separated, my wife and I joke about it, but we talked more through FaceTime and on the phone when I was away than when we were together. And it's actually strengthened our relationship. But again, she's been a rock. I love her to death.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact quote. Something like distance makes the heart
grow fonder.
Definitely. Words of wisdom, and that communication is integral. So very important. Speaking of lessons you've learned about taking care of your family and your team and yourself, could you give some wisdom to our audience about that?
Yeah, I'll say you got to make sure everyone involved has the right resources, the right tools to get the job done. As far as family, I was in constant communication with the family and relatives and even friends that lived in the area. And whenever my wife or kids couldn't get something done, I was reaching out to them. But that goes true for even at work and everything. You always have to fight to get the tools and the resources your folks need to get the job done. That's what my job is, and that's what I'm always fighting for.
Absolutely. So speaking of tools and balance and all these various things we have to do, one of the emerging priorities from the national defense level is warrior ethos. Can you tell us about the concept of warrior ethos and about it in the Air Force culture?
Yeah, sure. And the way I think of warrior ethos is you got to be ready to fight anytime, anywhere. And that's something, if you look at our vision here, is proficient, professional, and proactive. I need my folks to be ready at any time to take care of anything at any moment. That's what the Air Force is. Yeah, and that's what we're responsible for. And it's something that you got to stay physically fit, emotionally fit, spiritually fit, mentally fit. And if you're struggling in those areas, I don't want to be a naysayer. It might not be the right position for you in the Air Force if you are struggling with those things. Because, again, there's going to be times where bombs, bullets might be flying past us. And you've got to be able to nug on and get the job done. You can't curl up in the corner and give up. So you've got to push through it.
Yes, sir. Could you reflect on a moment in your career where you might have challenged, and how did you get through it?
every position I've been in has always had some challenges to it. Again, that's where I start looking to the resources around me. I don't have all the answers. I'm not the smartest person in the room. I can't remember what the quote is, but they said, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're not being smart at all. You've got to have smarter people surrounding you and go to the experts to get things done. And that's what I've always done.
Absolutely. That wingmanship I've been in 16 years, it's definitely helped me get through as well.
Absolutely.
Speaking of that strong warrior ethos, pushing through, how does one not burn out as well as neglect family and self-care? Any advice on that?
Yeah, you've got to stay physically fit. I have a great chief over here, Chief Frost, my SCL. He is like the epitome of fitness. I mean, he pushes me to go further, and that's what we all need to do, is just push each other to stay physically fit. Because I think, and I've found where I'm sitting here, my computer is starting to stress out and realized I haven't worked out in a few days, it wears out on you. So by being physically fit, you can handle more. To me, there's no doubt in my mind that that's the absolute truth.
Absolutely. So we've talked about various things. My next question, as you move on to your next assignment, what legacy do you hope to leave here with the airmen of the 433rd?
Well, I like to say I left this place in better condition than when I found it. A lot of things we struggled with when I first got here, CE here at the base, I mean, they do a great job. They've got a lot of responsibility across the JB, SA, San Antonio area. And I just felt we weren't being prioritized enough. So I engaged with them, and we've got the hangar doors finally fixed. That was plaguing us for a year. We're about to move into the fuel cell. That's been plaguing us for several years. We got the road fixed out here. We've got a fence fixed. We got AC fixed in one of our buildings that's been plaguing us for a while. Yeah, I think we're getting there. And again, I think I'm leaving this place better than when I found it.
Yes, sir. On a personal level, I know we haven't worked too much together, but I can't speak for everybody, for myself. I'm going to be sad to see you go.
Oh, thanks.
But I'm going to be very happy for your family and for the next adventure.
Yeah, and here's one thing, too, that we started when I got here was the TED Talks. I realized our supervisors are so focused on just maintenance. There was no program in place here to develop our future leaders, our supervisors, and even the senior leaders. So basically, I've tasked each leader a month to come up with a TED Talk, 15, 20 minutes, and just talk about a leadership principle and find a TED Talk that's out there, present it, and then provide a little bit of follow-on. And it's been working out great.
So is one of those stand out to you for TED Talks?
No, not really. And again, it's been various subjects that we've been talking about. And I can tell you that every supervisor has done one so far has done a great job with it. They've gotten great feedback from the other supervisors in the room. Yeah, I like the way it's going.
Absolutely, sir. So in closing, if you could speak directly to the next generation of airmen, what wisdom or encouragement would you want to pass along?
Ooh, okay, that's a loaded question right there.
And your son just went through BMT. Yeah.
The first thing I would say is don't get caught up in social media and what the news is presenting out there. If you look at the CEO, he's got an agenda. He or she has got an agenda, and most likely it's leaning left or leaning right. So just take it with a grain of salt. Don't get caught up. I've seen too many airmen getting on social media and making all these comments and being basically thinking that what they heard was 100% accurate. It's not. We all have an agenda, and you got to just be careful. Know who it's coming from, and then make some informed decisions. Do some research. That's one thing I ask too, is trying to find multiple sources or a different angle, and you'll be surprised on what you find once you start digging in. Another thing is we need multi-capable airmen. Sometimes I hear, that's not my job. Now, we're in the Air Force. We need to make things happen when it's time to make things happen. And if you're not learning now to do stuff outside of your area expertise, then you're only going to be good for one thing, and you need to be multi-capable. So that's another thing. And then the last thing I'll say is like taxes and insurance. The Air Force is a necessary evil. When it's time to execute, we've got to be stronger, tougher, more capable than our adversaries. And if we're not, we're going to lose. So again, maintain your fitness mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Get out there and try to get better, be better, and do better. And I think we'll be ready for the next fight as long as you keep that in mind.
Yes, sir. Perfect. I really appreciate your time. Alamo Wing, everyone. We're out. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
For this coming UTA's announcements, please check out our monthly Alamo Flyer that is sent out via email and posted on the AF Connect app. That's going to do it for this episode of Ready, Set, Airlift. I've been your host, Julian Hernandez. Thanks for spending some time with us. Until next time, take care.